We're going to kick off the show here with Ian Schur. Ian Schur is the editor-at-large at CNET.com, and we always talk tech and tech stories with Ian once a month. Let's get Ian in here. Hi, Ian.
Hi, how you doing?
All right, how you holding up?
You know, it's a lot of cabin fever. It's especially hard for my preschooler, who really, I think, craves that interaction with his classmates and pretty much any kids. I think he's really sick of us.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's just kind of how it is, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's really tough, and it reminds me, I think, of something I'm hearing a lot, which is that, you know, once this is all over, we're going to have to deal with the mental impact this has had on all of us,
sure,
being isolated for so long.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, are they doing any virtual stuff? Are they contacting their friends virtually?
Yeah, we're trying our best. He doesn't seem to enjoy video conferencing very much. He wasn't even a fan of FaceTime too much before this happened. He'll often go off and ignore it. But his class does have regular Zoom meetings, and, you know, they try to get him involved. And I think it's kind of, you know, it ebbs and flows, right? Just like any emotion.
Yeah.
And, you know, whereas in the class, there's kind of a peer pressure to get him to kind of do things. At home, it's harder, you know?
Yeah.
It's just me and my wife.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting experience.
It
but,
is.
You know, I think the lucky part of it is that he's so young that he probably won't remember all this, which is I'm very thankful for.
Yeah. We got to get through this, man. We'll get through it, and then all the families will be you know, once this is over, maybe people will be closer. That's the only thing that I can think of.
Hopefully, yeah.
All right.
We'll see.
Ian, tell us all about CNET.com.
So CNET.com is the world's largest tech news site. We also do reviews, which is what we're really known for. You can think of us as kind of like Consumer Reports or the Wirecutter from the New York Times, except we're actually bigger. And one of the things that I really like about us is that I used to work at the Wall Street Journal and at Reuters and the Agence France-Presse, and what got me to go to CNET is that I really love this idea that we talk about how tech is impacting your life, and not just technology for technology's sake and not just reviews for review's sake, but really looking at how is this device going to change your life or not, and won't live up to what it promises. And one of my favorite reviews we did recently was of the Facebook portal, these video chat devices that have suddenly become very popular with the elderly who are stuck at home.
Yeah.
We said it was an excellent video chat device, but it comes from Facebook. So there's a whole bunch of other baggage you have to think about. And most of that review was about Facebook's policies and the way that it's handled privacy. And I thought that was really smart. You know, even though they built a great device, we had to talk about who it was coming from. And that's something I think CNET does really, really well.
Yeah. You guys, it's a great website. And it's always very informative. It's always great to have you on. Ian, hang on, okay?
Yeah,
all right. Ian Schur is with us. He is editor-at-large at CNET.com. We've got a lot of tech stories to get to. And if you have a comment or a question tech-related, 312-981-7200. The phone lines are always open for you. Hi, Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, keeping you company and keeping you informed until 4 a.m., and then WGN is with you 24/7. Coming up, we're going to talk with May Barenbaum, who is an entomologist who's going to set the record straight about murder hornets. we've got Evander Holyfield and nonsense and comeback, so we're going to talk about top athletes who came out of retirement and much more. Phone number is 312-981-7200, and joining us every month from CNET.com's editor-at-large, Ian Schur, to give us some tech news, as we do. Ian, hello.
Hi, I want to meet the person who wrote the name Murder Hornets and get them a job as a marketer because, oh my God, that just hits you so hard.
That's one of the questions. That's one of the questions that I'm going to ask our guest is where did that term come from? Can we have we traced it back to
my nightmares is where it came from.
Yeah, I know. And I mean, it's just like we're not all freaked out already as it is, you know. Now we have to worry about murder hornets. I mean, but we're going to clear all that up. We're going to, you know, let everybody get the real deal on what's going on with those insects. So all right, Ian, let's get going. You know, Mother's Day is Sunday. And you at CNET put together the best Mother's Day gifts for under $25 for 2020. Let's go through that.
Yeah, so I think what is really interesting about the internet and helpful is that there's a bunch of stuff out there, right? There's Etsy that you could go to and get some stuff, although with shipping being what it is, you want to be really quick, I think.
Yeah.
But you can also do fun stuff. Like, we actually have a link to this website called Tribute, where you can create a video montage for your mother. And, you know, it's not a gift, but sometimes the thought is what's most important, particularly as we're all remote from one another. Yeah. There's obviously mom-themed T-shirts that we have links to, you know, the best there. One of the cool things I think I've run across, and I've gotten these in corporate gifts, are these kind of scrunchable grocery bags. And we have a link to one of them called Bag Pods. But what it does is it scrunches up into something that you could fit almost in your pocket. And I've actually carried one around in my bag whenever I was walking around San Francisco. No longer anymore, but it was really helpful whenever I'd grab something from a bodega or something.
Mm-hmm. And these, by the way, obviously, we're not using them now. During the pandemic.
No.
But when this is all over.
Although, you know, I've seen on social media and stuff like TikTok and YouTube, people pretending to go out into the real world. So there's actually a really cool video of someone pretending to be in an airport, like taking their bag and like walking on a treadmill as if they're going down.
Right. I've seen that. Yeah. I've seen the people with their luggage on a treadmill in the house, making it seem as though they are at the airport. People are getting, you know, because we're stuck inside and everything, people are getting pretty creative there on the internet. Some really fun stuff to take our minds off of what's going on. You can check out on the internet. It's really fun.
Yeah, I think the internet, if nothing else, is a fantastic time suck with a ton of stuff to get you to chuckle. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we really need that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So two of the things that I would point out that we, you know, when we're talking about techie stuff, a lot of people, believe it or not, still don't know about pop sockets and phone grips. So these things are like you can stick them to the back of your phone. They help you to hold it when you're carrying it around. Super popular with teenagers. You can also get, we have a link to a company called Ninja Phone Loop Straps, which are kind of what they sound like. It's a loop that they put on the phone instead of a socket, and it makes it really easy to carry. And, of course, it comes in all these fun little patterns. So we've been a real fan of them for a long time. We've reviewed them and seen that many years ago. They convinced me to get it for a while. So it's definitely one of the popular things we look at. And then finally, Tile. I don't know if you've ever heard of these devices, but they are probably one of the most popular talking stuffers that we talk about at CNET. What they are is that they are little devices that talk to your phone, and they talk to everyone else's phones too. And what they do is that they will, if you lose something, you can attach them to, like, your keys, or even there are really small ones you can attach now to the back of a remote control or whatever. And if you lose something, all you do is you open up your app and you say, hey, I lost it, and it'll make a noise.
Wow.
If you're in an airport or something and you lose it, what'll happen is that everyone's phones are going to start looking for it. And they all do this in the background. They don't know they're doing it. But what happens is that once it's found, you get a little alert saying, hey, it's over there. And what I think is super cool about this is that this is a system designed where the community helps one another just by using the app, right? All you do is you have the app open. If you run across one of these devices, again, you don't know it. You're not looking at the app. You're not even seeing the information. But if your phone runs across one of these lost devices, it tells the owner. And that's just so cool. So
That's really amazing.
I've never lost anything, but I did put it on my luggage. And one of the funner things to do is when it's coming down the ramp, I wait until I'm able to tell when it's coming down next because my phone lights up and says, "Hey, your tile's nearby." So,
wow, that's pretty cool.
It's a little fun to play with it.
That's really cool. What company puts this out? This is a really cool item.
Company is called Tile, so T-I-L-E. There's a competitor out there called Trekker, that's T-R-A-C-K-R, no E, because it's the internet. and the Trekker ones are a little less popular. They're a little harder to use. The Tile ones, they've really just become really popular. They've got all sorts of patterns you can put on it, and they've got a bunch of different devices. You can change the batteries out on your own, so you don't have to buy new ones every year. And they are super popular among a lot of people.
Okay. All right. These sound like all great gifts ideas. And all of these things are under $25.
All of them are under $25. In some cases, we have special deals that we rounded up. You know, CNET, we have a guy called the Cheapskate. His name's Rick Broida. He's a really fun guy. And he puts out a daily deals list where we actually, we just like a lot of other people these days, we go through the internet, we try to find the best deals that are most worthwhile, and then we send them out to everyone by email. And he put this guide together. And in some cases, he made special agreements with different companies, like Tribute for the video montages and whatnot, and we have a special code. But in other cases, like with Tile, it's just, hey, this is a really cool device. We recommend you buy it.
Yeah, that's great. And by the way, the Cheapskate, you can get a Cheapskate newsletter from CNET, correct?
Yes, every day, and I'm signed up, and I admit I buy things from him. He sends it out all the time, and it's really helpful if you're looking for all sorts of random tech stuff. And I don't know about you, but I buy throughout the year for the holidays, so I don't just run out and try and buy during during the hot season. So if I find something great for my brother in March, I grab it, and usually Rick is helping me do that.
Okay, that's the Cheapskate newsletter, and you can just go to CNET.com to sign up for that. It's free.
Yep, it's totally free.
Okay. All right, we got more tech stories here. Ian Schur is with us, editor-at-large at CNET.com. Joins us monthly to talk all things tech. Now, here's an interesting story here. There's a 5G coronavirus conspiracy theory that results in 77 mobile towers being burned. Tell us about this.
Oh, my God. So this is the whole conspiracy theory run amok problem. So there's a conspiracy theory out there that we've debunked at CNET where people believe that 5G radio towers actually caused the coronavirus or may have somehow exacerbated it. First off, biology and radio signals like this is just unbelievable that some people believe this. We explain the science. We break it down without being condescending about it to help you understand why this conspiracy theory is just completely bunk. But there are enough people who believed it that in the UK, they went and tried to burn down 80 mobile towers.
Jeez.
Throughout the country. It's unbelievable, right? And not to mention, these are towers. They have electricity. Like, it's dangerous for the people who are unfortunate enough to be near them.
Yeah.
But, you know, so it's just a really unfortunate thing. And it shows how conspiracy theories they don't just happen on the internet anymore. And we remember this from Comet Ping Pong Pizza back a few years ago when people believed that there was a child abuse ring happening in Washington, D.C., and someone went in with a gun and tried to prove it. Mm-hmm. And, of course, there wasn't one. But it all came from the Internet. And this is another example where these Internet conspiracy theories just run amok. They're not even close to true, and it causes so much trouble.
Yeah, it's just crazy. 77 mobile towers burned. What can they do to, can they repair these things or these towers?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely, they're all burned at different amounts, right? So they can be repaired to some degree. But the bigger concern, frankly, is that we're talking about a lot of cost. You know, the wireless carriers are trying to upgrade us all to this 5G wireless, which is supposed to be super fast and much more reliable and all these things, and help us do stuff like, you know, remote telemedicine much better and all these other things that we're trying to do. And people burning them down means that, honestly, it slows down the progress, right? These are, in a lot of cases, public companies who have to answer to shareholders. And when they've lost tens of millions of dollars in investment, they're less likely to put up another tower. And that means you lose out in the end.
Yeah. And we need that stuff now more than ever. We need it now more than ever.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
We're relying on the Internet so much. I mean, I can't even imagine. I don't even look at my the amount of I'm so thankful I'm on a corporate plan, so I get unlimited Internet through my phone. But I don't even look at my the meter anymore. I'm using it all the time. And there's no way that, you know, I can imagine a world now where I'm not somehow tied to my phone for work. And the idea of somehow trying to sabotage that, and how much it can impact so many different businesses and people, it's just crazy.
Yeah, it is. Okay. All right, Ian, hang on, okay?
Yep, absolutely.
All right. Ian Schur is with us, editor-at-large at CNET.com, and we've got many more tech stories to talk about, some timely stuff as well. And if you want to jump in with a comment, it's 312-981-7200. Nick DiGilio on WGN. Gilio on 720 WGN, live in the Skyline studio in Chicago, here till 4 o'clock. We'll keep you posted on what's happening in the world. We'll keep you company, and we'll all get through this together. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Ian Schur joins us once a month. He's an editor-at-large at CNET.com. And we always have a lot of tech stories to talk with Ian about. If you want to get in here, it's 312-981-7200. And here's Ian. Okay, Ian. So another piece that was on CNET that you actually wrote is, again, about the coronavirus, and it's got us hooked on big tech more than ever before.
Absolutely. So one of the things I wanted to look at was how the tech industry is growing its power. I feel like that's been the story of my career for the last couple of years now, is looking at how tech and power are kind of intermingled. And one of the things that really fascinated me over the last week, we got a lot of the earnings reports from Apple, Amazon, Facebook, Google. And one of the things we noticed in all of them was not the fact that they were struggling in their main businesses, right? The iPhone sales were down. Amazon's profits were kind of struggling. Facebook and Google said their advertising businesses were kind of troubled, which makes sense because Coca-Cola said they weren't going to advertise anymore for a while. And I never knew why they advertised in the first place. I already chose Coke. But the interesting thing here, I mean, didn't everyone decide on that thing? Anyway, so, you know, the interesting thing, though, was that everyone's using these other businesses that they have. So in Apple's case, a lot of people are going to the App Store, and that's what grew its business. For Amazon, what's been going on is that so a lot of its side businesses have been growing. Facebook really saw that people are buying its portal video chat devices we were talking about, right, popular with the elderly, and also their Oculus virtual reality headsets, because, man, would I like to get away from the world we're living in at the moment, right?
Right, yeah.
And then Google saw huge growth at YouTube, which makes sense. I mean, this is like the second biggest website on the planet, but the fact that it saw enough to point that out to us and double-digit growth, no less, really shows that these companies have actually found a way to worm further into our lives, right? These businesses that weren't the primary thing that they did have suddenly become the things that we're all relying on during this time, whether it's to entertain us or to be able to use things or for business or whatever. And it just kind of shows how we're leaning on them more, which means, of course, we can't unrely on them when this whole thing is over,
right,
which means that they're going to have even more involvement in our lives. And I'm not saying that's a good or bad thing, but it is something to think about.
Yeah. And you really go deep into this and, in this article. What are some of the other things that you found while you did this?
Well, I think what was one of the other things that was an important thing to think about is that these companies realize that they've gone from being the people who were hated around a lot of, Capitol Hill. They were getting beat up by the president. They were getting all these things that they've suddenly come into the light. And a lot of people are like, thank goodness Apple and Google are trying to fight the coronavirus, right? But the thing is that they realize that this could turn on them real quick. So they're doing a lot of stuff to try and convince us, hey, they care, they're trying to work. And I'm not saying that they don't care. I'm sure that they do. But they're also very actively talking about it. So, for example, Apple and Google, they announced this tracking tool that they're going to build that will actually help people identify when they may have infected someone with coronavirus. This is an amazing technology. So the idea, and I'm not a fan usually of these types of things, but I think it's really intelligent. What they do is that all our phones are going to send out signals to one another. And by the way, it's just like the Tile app, right?
Yeah.
All of our phones talk to each other. And what will happen is that we're going to anonymously start telling people, hey, I've been near you. Hey, I've been near you. And it's going to be held in the phone. It's not going to be sent up to the cloud to be hacked. And if someone gets sick and they get confirmed to have coronavirus, their doctor enters in a little code. Their phone goes into the app and says, hey, whoever you were near in the last 14 days, warn them that they may have been infected by coronavirus too. And they'll get a little notice saying, hey, you were near someone. They're not going to say it was Ian. So you were near someone who had coronavirus. You should either isolate or get tested.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's just genius idea. We're talking about 2 billion phones around the world are going to have this capability in the next few months. It's opt-in also, so it's not going to be by default. People have to choose to do it.
Right.
And I think it's a great example of how these companies, when they really put their minds to it and they throw away ideas like making tons and oodles of money all the time, they can really do something good.
Yeah. No, that's great. I mean, that's really great. That's really great. That's a great use of technology. That's one of the things that that we're discovering at this time is that, a lot of people talk about how, technology has not been used very well. It's always used for stupid things. But in a time like this, when an idea like this pops up and is executed, that's really inspiring.
Absolutely. And don't get me wrong, there's plenty of stupid things we do with technology.
Yeah.
The poop emoji that you can animate on your iPhone is a great example of that. But I think that seeing the tech industry really show how they can help with things. And by the way, there are other examples too, right? Facebook is fighting all this misinformation around the coronavirus way quicker than they did with political disinformation. I mean, they're pulling stuff down left and right way, way, way quicker.
Yeah.
And so I think it really is showing that these companies realize that they have an opportunity to do right by everyone, mm-hmm. and maybe it'll help them in the end. We'll see. But it's nice to see that happening.
Yeah. Well, this piece that you wrote is really interesting. The coronavirus has us even more hooked on big tech than ever before. And you can check it out at CNET.com. Ian Schur is with us. 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you'd like to join us. Let's lighten it up a little bit. Tinder is working on a video chat feature now because even during the pandemic, nothing can stop dating, I guess, correct?
Yes. I feel like there needs to be a catcall whistle or something all of a sudden noise,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I can't make it myself. No, this is a really kind of interesting interesting cultural moment, I think. And it actually comes to the point that, you know, I used to look at surveys where I had learned that most people only wanted to interact with about five people over video chat in their entire lives. That was it. And usually, like, it's really close family. And everyone else, you're like, nah, the phone. I don't want to look at them the whole time. Well, fast forward to now, we're all video chatting with so many people all the time. I mean, if you're in white-collar worker, you're likely on Zoom or Microsoft Teams or whatever else a ton. So now Tinder, which, you know, very popular dating app, is going to build video chat into their app. And look, there's a million and one jokes we can make. We could do it all night. I would have a ton of fun. But I think that it really shows how the way that we're interacting with each other is changing. And I am really curious to see whether a couple ends up coming out of this whole thing who, you know, met on Tinder video chat and ends up getting married during the coronavirus. Like, that would be the ultimate example. But it's not just Tinder, by the way. Match, which is one of their main competitors. By the way, the way that I met my wife was through Match.
Oh, is that right?
They also have, yeah. We back before it was popular to say you were online dating, we met through online dating. So, yeah. But, you know, they have a video chat feature too. So I think this is a logical next step. And especially in a time when we're all much more comfortable with video chat because it's just, it's here. I think it'll be interesting to see how it goes. But I don't want to drop into anyone's video chats because, ooh, boy, I have a feeling that those will be a little spicy.
Yeah. Now video chatting does anyone have the numbers on how popular it is right now during this pandemic?
Extremely popular is the right answer. So we've gotten some data, we're talking about triple-digit percentage growth for a lot of the video chat devices and video chat apps out there. Microsoft Teams, Google Meet, Zoom obviously has become a verb.
Yep.
All of them have said they've just seen exponential growth. And what I think has been really fascinating, typically when something like this becomes hugely popular, they have a hard time keeping it running. I don't know if you remember, like, go back a decade when we all got iPods for Christmas, Apple's website would go down every Christmas, right? Because everyone opened up their iPod, they wanted to plug it in. Suddenly iTunes couldn't handle the traffic, and boom, it wouldn't work for the day. Well, now we're all Zooming all the time, and the system works. And I think it's a real testament that all these companies, and I've spoken to Microsoft and Google about this, they really did their best to be prepared when they started seeing these trends grow up. So we have all these video chat that works really well, and we're getting really comfortable with it.
Yeah, and it's also, I mean, obviously people are working from home, but they still have to have meetings, and everybody is Zooming, you know.
Everyone.
Yeah. And also people just want to stay connected with their family if they haven't seen their family. But I see it all the time. They post all these things online, and check it out. It's you can't go a minute without seeing someone post, the virtual meetings.
Well, and I've been on Zoom birthdays. I'm sure I'm going to end up at a Zoom wedding before this is over. I've heard a lot about Zoom funerals as well.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just being used in all sorts of aspects of life.
Yeah.
And I think it's, you know, I think what's interesting is that at a time where it used to be kind of like, well, I'm going to call someone, and if I want to see them, I'll go over to where they are.
Right.
That because we can't do that, for some reason, we feel much more comfortable with it. And I Zoom chatted with a couple friend of mine on the other side of the country. And we did it for like 2 hours. And, you know, I was just kind of hanging out. They were hanging out. Felt perfectly normal. I feel like 3 months ago, it would not have felt that way. And it shows how much things have changed.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, Ian, hang on. Ian Schur is with us. He joins us monthly to talk tech. He is editor-at-large at CNET.com. If you have a question or a comment, tech question, it's 312-981-7200. And we'll talk more with Ian right after this.
rolls in. You can feel it starting all over again.
Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Hi, we're live in the Skyline studio here until 4 a.m. And we'll keep you informed, we'll keep you company, and we'll all get through this together. That's what we're doing. And WGN is here 24/7 for you. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Coming up in a little bit after 1 o'clock, Mae Barenbaum is going to join us. She's a professor and head of entomology at the University of Illinois. And she's going to set the record straight about all these weird stories about the murder hornets that we've been hearing. So we'll get to the bottom of that. And the news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom here on WGN. Ian Schur, editor-at-large at CNET.com, joins us monthly to talk about tech and tech stories and tech-related issues. And if you want to jump in here, it's 312-981-7200. And here is Ian again. Ian, we have some flaws in the popular VPNs.
Yeah, so there's a report out from a security researcher who says that four popular VPN apps, Private VPN, BetterNet, CyberGhost, and Hotspot Shield, exposed the information potentially of their users, and in some cases allowed them to the researchers to actually install malicious programs into a person's computer.
And by the way, I just want to mention, yeah, Ian, that VPN stands for Virtual Private Network Service.
Yes, and let me explain a little bit what a VPN
please, is. Please do.
For those who don't know. So a VPN is essentially, think of it like a protected highway, right? So if you are on the open internet, there are all sorts of really nasty things that can happen, right? People could try to hack you, people could try to track you, all sorts of other things. So the promise of a VPN is that it allows you to connect to the internet in a safer way. They try to obscure your information so that it's not shown to the public internet, and they have tools built in to stop hacking attacks when you're connected to the internet. And often the way it works is that your phone actually connects to their computers, and then their computers go and surf the internet. So you're kind of connecting to their computers and then using their security to go out into the wider world if you don't trust your own. It's actually a technology that a lot of businesses use. So in order to connect to access my company's files, I use a VPN to be able to do that. All those types of things are what people do. But in the consumer world, these VPNs have gotten pretty popular. You may have heard of a bunch of the ones that are out there, like NordVPN. They are very aggressive marketers. TunnelBear is another one. There's a bunch of them out there. So these four that I mentioned, Private VPN, BetterNet, CyberGhost, and Hotspot Shield, all of them had flaws that these security researchers found. And that's a really key thing when you think about these tools are designed and marketed as a way for people to securely surf the internet. And they weren't able to do that.
Wow. What's being done about it?
Well, every time these types of things happen, the companies immediately try to button up and fix things, and that's not uncommon. I think what's going to be really interesting is that a lot of these tools are kind of the Wild West. People are just waking up to concerns about privacy and security. And I know, I've been, moaning about this stuff for over a decade, but a lot of people are starting to really figure out, it's really important for me to be careful on the internet. I shouldn't be using the same password everywhere I go, and all of these things. And as a result, more people than ever really are interested in these VPNs and how to protect themselves online. So I think it's going to be a real challenge for these companies to prove that they are reliable. And we at CNET and also others are starting to actually review VPNs and identify which ones are trustworthy and not, because, some of them are fly by night, some of them are really serious, and we're trying to figure out which ones are.
And what has been the response from these companies? Has there been an issued statement or anything?
Yeah, so what's probably the most disconcerting things is that in some cases they've actually tried to attack the researchers, and this is not uncommon. We see this sometimes in other parts of the tech industry, and I mean, you know, we could even say that we've seen it in other parts of the world where research comes out that people don't like, and they decide to attack the researchers instead of considering what they said. Mm. And in this case, you know, it's an unfortunate thing. A couple of them, BetterNet and PrivateVPN, said that they are going to fix their systems, but you know, unfortunately, some of the others decided to just attack the researchers. So there you are.
And that happens regularly, then, huh, Ian?
Unfortunately, it does. I mean, one of the things that's really interesting is that there's a lot of advocacy organizations out there these days, and you see them doing research that's related to their advocacy, which is totally makes sense.
Yeah.
Think of people like the Electronic Frontier Foundation, who push very hard for an open internet, or the ACLU. And as a result, you know, people who are politically not aligned with these organizations don't want to hear what they have done research about. And that's where this kind of keeps happening. And also, honestly, I think it shows all that some of these companies are just not used to being criticized. I run across that all the time as a reporter. Like, sometimes I run across companies who respond very weirdly to when I write something. And I think to myself, my gosh, they must never have actually run across a reporter before. And that's just kind of, that's the tough part, right, is kind of learning to be a business in the modern world.
Yeah, wow. All right. We actually have a caller here. Robert, go ahead.
What you were just talking about is crucial to the internet, because I had my identity stolen, and it's not fun. So you have to be able to protect yourself. But my question was,
you absolutely do. Yes, it's really not fun when your identity is stolen. And
oh no, it's
my
not.
Wife
and I didn't realize
had her identity stolen recently. Finding it was really tough.
What's your question, Robert?
My question is with all the killer bees and all the things that are hurting our honeybees, which pollinate everything, is the tech world trying to look at how the tech companies can pollinate, if you will, through technology? You know, if anyone's looking at any research on that, because unfortunately, there's things killing off these bees left and right, and if our tech world doesn't start looking at it now, we might be in trouble down the road.
Okay, is Ian, any word on any technology in that regard?
Yeah, so there are agricultural tech companies out there, and a lot of them are starting to think about sustainability, which is what you're getting at a little bit. And most of them, though, are mostly focused on analytics, right? Helping farmers identify how crops are doing, when they're not doing well, using sensors and new ways to make sure that the crops get the highest yields, and also teaching their tools to be more smart as they're working. So when it comes to something like biodiversity, right, we're talking about bees here, it's not something that the tech world in particular has focused a lot on, because honestly, it's a harder thing for them to do. That's more something that the agricultural world and even the people like the John Deere's of the world are more equipped to do, I think. But there may be something out there I'm unaware of. It's just I haven't heard anything myself.
Okay. All right, Robert, thanks for the call. And stay tuned, because we're going to talk about, going to shed some light on these murder hornets that are around. Stay tuned for that. Really quickly, Ian, you know, the movie business has been hit hard by this, not just, you know, movie theaters, but also production and all that stuff. But now with the theaters are closed, a lot of actors are turning to VR, correct?
Yeah, you know, I think we've been at CNET, we've been writing about how actors are experimenting with virtual reality a lot, and I've been playing with VR for years now. And one of the examples we have, which is a thing called Sleep No More and Then She Fell, they're kind of these experiential things that you can try out if you have a VR headset, are really designed so that a real-life actor in another part of the world can interact with you in VR in a way that they're giving a performance. And it's a really fascinating idea. We've seen examples of this where people have actually done a whole stage show. I remember hearing about, I think it was someone did a version of it wasn't the Nightmare Before Christmas. It was the one with, never mind. So, but the thing is that they've been doing a lot of these types of things over the last few years. And I think it's going to be really interesting to see how the theater changes as technology gets more and more involved. I don't think it's going to overtake the theater anytime soon. And by the way, AMC and a bunch of other cinemas have kind of given up on a lot of their VR efforts over the years. So I don't think they're going to replace the cinema either, but it's a really interesting new medium for people to play with.
Yeah, it is interesting. And it's going to be really interesting to see what happens with movie theaters once this is over.
It's going to be so really much fascinating things.
Yeah. I mean, they've already kind of outlined some of the ideas. You know, they're not going to, you know, if a theater has like a 400 capacity, they're only going to allow 200 people in. There's going to be safe distancing and all that stuff. The movie theater experience is going to be completely different when this is all over.
Well, and don't forget also that the streaming world is changing too.
There's
this idea of having the day and date stream where you can download and stream the movie that's in the theater. That has happened, right?
I did Trolls World Tour. I did Trolls on streaming. I watched Trolls. I watched Invisible Man. I watched The Hunt. You know, so it's interesting. Ian, it's always a pleasure, my friend. Everybody can check you out at CNET.com, and we'll talk to you next month.
Absolutely. Okay. Take care, man.
All right. Be good. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. It's WGN.